But Popeye, David.
Popeye the sailor, man.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
To get into the harder stuff, I expect we slow down a bit. What we will do is start. Also to bring us through the rest of the similars and then go into Bowser and from there to PCA.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hanson.
Madam Chair, I wanted to get a clarification on one of the SAMEs that I think we adopted yesterday. There was the MAELC, and I thought we had a difference, and maybe I'm just confused, that we had a difference on an expiration date with 15 and 18, or was that the Farm Business Management?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, the difference is on the extension for the Farmer Lender Mediation Act for MAELC or MAELC, Agricultural Education Leadership Council, that both sides were at 2018, a five-year extension.
I'm sure I don't know if now is the time or maybe at some other point we may want to revisit that, just because I think there's been some turnover there with their executive director, and I just personally think maybe we want to give that a little less time and or perhaps require some reporting back just on the for the Ag Department on what's happening there. Maybe I'm the only one, but we can discuss that maybe when we get into the ag portion.
When we get into the ag, let's remember to revisit that. With that, House Counsel would like to, or I think it's Mr. Sullivan, are you going to start?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'll pick up with the agriculture similars. It's in the second tab in your binders, the agricultural policy language. And we were on, I believe, page R29 when Mr. Knopf left off yesterday. He was, in my opinion, accurately characterizing the Senate-only language, Section 9, as technical and conforming language that corresponds with the change from the ethanol mandate to a biofuel mandate. If you see that Section 9, Subdivision 3, gasoline on the Senate side, if you see Clauses 2 and 3 there, under current law, the law isn't changed. Sections would prevent someone from blending gasoline with biofuel that isn't ethanol. And, you know, elsewhere in both bills, the ethanol mandate is modified to give the person the option of blending biofuel instead. So although this is Senate-only language, we characterized it as similar and as a technical difference. I don't know if members would like to hear from the Department of Commerce or if members are comfortable adopting the Senate language.
Madam Chair, I think that we could adopt the language, but it would be helpful to hear as well from, I think, at least the Department of Ag, to be able to just have that on the record.
Yes. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Greta Gothier, Department of Agriculture. My counterpart from the Department of Commerce is on his way. The energy bill is also up this morning in a different hearing room, but I'm very familiar with this language. And Mr. Sullivan was right. It's a conformity to changes made elsewhere in the statute as part of a multi-stakeholder group that worked last summer and fall to negotiate ways to open up the statute, as it were, to the next generation beyond ethanol of biofuels. So this language is conforming with changes elsewhere, and it's needed so that the statutes as a whole always similarly refer to biofuel now instead of ethanol, and then there are definitions for both biofuel up above there in Section 7 and conventional biofuel in Section 8. So it's technical and conforming. And the Department of Agriculture is fine with it.
Representative Poppe, would you like to make a motion?
I would. I move the Senate language in Section 8. Section 9.
Representative Poppe moves Section 9. Senate language, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The opposition? That has been adopted.
Madam Chair and members, then continuing with similar ethanol language, the bottom of R29 begins the modifications to the ethanol mandate statute, and then on to page R30. Bulk of the language is the same. The important elements are exactly the same in the House and Senate language. There's a difference on line 41.13 of the House side, 17.4 on the Senate side. This is existing language that's modified, and it says that a gallon of E10 is considered a gallon of E10 if it contains not less than 9.2% ethanol by volume and not more than 10%. The House change would say the same ratio would apply now to a 10% blend of ethanol or the 10% blend of biofuel and gasoline, now that blenders would have the option of using either one. Senate language would say that the 9.2% to 10% would still apply, as under current law, only to E10 or 10% ethanol.
Madam Chair, can I just explain the reason the Senate doesn't have clause 2 there is that the issue is it caps it at 10%, and this would mean for the advanced biofuels they'd be capped at 10%. My understanding is that there's one that's approved for 17%, another one they're talking about 12%, and with clause 2 in there, with the way the House has it, you would be capping them at 10%, even though the plan is to go ahead with 12 or 17, depending on which product we're talking about. And so the thought was in the Senate we didn't include the clause 2. We think we had it in there at one point in time. To eliminate the clause 2 was because we didn't want to put a cap on the advanced biofuels.
Madam Chair, I believe, however, that the language in both bills now, if someone chooses to use biofuel other than ethanol, they cannot, under this language, blend more than 10% at this point. It's the language in clause 2 allows someone to blend ethanol in clause 1 or biofuel at a 10% blend.
Well, Madam Chair, Mr. Sullivan, that's a minimum. That's not a maximum. If you look at clause 2, it says up on 41.4, it says the greater of.
But Mr. Knopf, that applies only to the ethanol. So it's the greater of E10 or E15 or a higher approved blend. So the greater of applies to clause 1 and not clause 2, as I read it.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. But, if you look on the previous page, Madam Chair, Mr. Sullivan, on 41.1, that's actually the language I was looking for. In Minnesota, must contain at least the quantity of biofuel required by clause 1 or 2. So the 10%, we've always treated that on the Senate side as a minimum amount, not a maximum. And by putting in on paragraph B to put a clause 2, you're going to make the 10% a maximum. You're going to make it. It has to be exactly 10%. Well, it could go to 9.2. I mean, if you're for the purpose of enforcement. But the concern was that this what the 10% cap in paragraph B is, you would be limiting them to just 10%.
Yeah, that does make sense to me, and I know in general the changes to these statutes in the last few years have been to have more general standards that apply to different biofuel blends, not just E10. So that the way Mr. Knopf has described the Senate language, that makes sense to me.
I'm not sure that we want to move on this until everybody is satisfied that they understand this.
Madam Chair, I'm wondering if somebody who has worked on this could step to the table and give us a little bit more of their explanation of which side they'd prefer.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members, I'm Melissa Ron. I represent GEVO. We were one of the stakeholders in the process. Essentially, this language here was designed for commerce to be able to test the percentage of biofuels in the tank. The reason that it's capped just for ethanol at 9.2% and not more than 10% is because ethanol has a waiver, and anything above 10% ethanol would violate the waiver and therefore wouldn't be able to be sold. And so therefore, when we went and tried to design this statute to allow for additional biofuels, the equivalent of E10 for, say, example, butanol that we sell and that Butamax sells is 12.5%. And so by including, other biofuels in this 9.2 to 10%, we'd inadvertently cap it, and that wasn't the intention.
Madam Chair. So which side is the right side?
Right. So after the stakeholders took a look and were able to look at this, the Senate language is preferred and meets the guidelines that we set out in the Biofuels Task Force. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we've heard from, one industry or one entity that, we potentially benefit, but maybe Commerce has some additional insight they can give us about other companies or technologies that potentially would be impacted by this.
Peter Brickwitty from the Department of Commerce. Forgive me for members for bouncing in from the Finance Committee in the Senate, so I'm coming in just a little bit late. I believe Ms. Ron's explanation was entirely correct. I don't believe Commerce sees this as a change necessarily, but rather part of the broader agreement that was reached during the biodiesel task force process. And so we did ask for a couple of different provisions, this being one of them, from our weights and measures staff to be able to test for in the field for accuracy of our products, and this was included in the language. And so, again, I would agree with Ms. Ron's characterization of how this language came to be.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Brickwitty, I guess the question is, I mean, we heard about one company, but do we have other ones on the radar that might be benefiting by this, or it could help or improve their ability to sell in the state?
Madam Chair. If I could, I think maybe Greta Gauthier, Department of Agriculture, could address your question, Madam Chair, and Representative Falk. The group of stakeholders that worked on this was about 20, 21 people that included not only GEVO and Butamax, which are looking at biobutanol, but also some other types of alternative or next-generation biofuel technology companies that are out there kind of on the horizon. So the language was crafted to be able to include as inclusive as possible for new types of alternative biofuel. I don't have a list of those companies here, but I can probably pull it up on my computer and email it to you.
And Madam Chair, if I might just add one thing too, just not to oversimplify this, but this is actually kind of a renumbering in the statute. This particular section was created for ethanol for the testing purposes, and therefore when we, adjusted the earlier statutes in section, which section. We actually just renumbered, and so it's just taking the previous reference to say that ethanol is tested between 9.2 to 10% and renumbering it so it still matches.
Chair, if I would just add one item. The Department of Agriculture and the Department of Commerce and the Pollution Control Agency work very collaboratively in the biofuels area. For the Commerce Department's part, we are interested certainly in there being a robust marketplace and having the opportunity for multiple companies to come into the Minnesota marketplace, but our primary concern is being able to do the testing and enforcement. So regardless of who's bringing the product into the marketplace, that's our concern. So I would defer to the Department of Agriculture in terms of the number of companies and what the future of the industry looks like. Our concern primarily is on the enforcement side.
see a motion. So maybe
I could move to accept the Senate language. I think it is just subsection B there, right? Is that where the
section?
Madam Chair,
subdivision
it'd be all of section 10.
Section 10.
I'm sure they're the same otherwise.
Representative Poppy moves that we adopt Section 10 of the Senate language.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposition? That section of the Senate language is adopted.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, then moving on to Section 59 of the House language, Section 11 of the Senate starts on the bottom of R30 and goes on to R31. Again, we're dealing with cleaning up references in the ethanol mandate statute now that it's been modified to allow the blending of other biofuels. So there's, if you see on House language, lines 42.5 and 42.6, and then across on the Senate language, 18.26. Here you're dealing with a provision that when the legislature moved the ethanol mandate to the greater of E10 or a higher blend, such as E15, approved by the federal government for use in all motor vehicles irrespective of the model year. This provision that's modified here went into place to state that the higher blend, the higher mandate level, wouldn't take effect until the Commissioner of Commerce publishes notice in the State Register. The House language, as I review it, now I don't think it works in its current form. It would say that this posting of notice in the State Register has to do now, as the statute is modified, with the option to blend 10% of another biofuel. But the language states that it's a minimum biofuel requirement. So I think the Senate language, which says that this existing law sort of fixes the reference to say that this higher ethanol mandate level, the correct reference now that statute has been modified, would take effect only after the Commissioner of Commerce publishes notice in the State Register. So I think the Senate language is preferred in this instance.
Representative Poppy? Madam Chair, I'd like to move the Senate language on Section 11.
Representative Poppy moves the Senate language on Section 11. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposition? Amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, then moving on again with ethanol conforming changes, Section 60 on the House side, still on R31. Section 12 on the Senate side. As with the last section, the Senate language, the difference, you see Senate line 18.35, see the new text, and on 42.15 on the House side. This is provides a limited liability waiver to someone who sells a motor fuel that's blended with an ethanol content above 10%. And the Senate language, again, corrects the reference in this section so that it points to the higher ethanol blend referenced earlier in the statute. The House language, because it's not corrected to point to the proper section, again, would talk about a limited liability waiver for the 10% biofuel option, the new option, and that wasn't discussed in committee, and so that would be a pretty significant change. So I guess I would recommend, again, the Senate language for this limited liability waiver.
Senator Poppy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move that we approve the Senate language under Section 12.
Representative Poppy moves Section 12 of the Senate language. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposition? Section 12 is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, then another similar section once again dealing with the ethanol statute is starts on the bottom of R31, petroleum replacement promotion, and continues on to R32. The substance of the House and Senate language is the same as far as setting goals for certain biofuel use in certain specific years in the future. The difference is that the House language, right now you can see beginning on 43.8 on the House side, you can see that current language says that the commissioners, this is Agriculture, Commerce, and Pollution Control, shall meet with representatives from the renewable fuels industry, petroleum retailers, refiners, automakers, small engine manufacturers, and other interested groups. The House language, the Senate kind of continues that current structure of having the agencies meet with representatives. So both sides add additional duties or a different task that the representatives of the industry shall help the commissioners with. The House language is different in that it forms, a formal task force pursuant to Section 15.014. Senate continues kind of the current structure with the commissioners meeting with representatives. The House language reflects the recommendation of the biofuel advisory group that the legislature created last year to create a task force similar to the biodiesel task force, but I did review that statute again for the biodiesel task force, which serves a similar purpose, and that task force isn't formally organized under 15.014, so I don't know that there's a reason to do that unless someone from the agencies or the stakeholders have an opinion on that.
Would the agency like to share some thoughts here?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Pertaining to the language on page R32, then, on line 43.8 of the House side, we don't see, it's a more formal configuration of the Senate language, and we would support the House language. I believe that is what the stakeholders would like to have done, and so we would support what the Biofuels Task Force that has been convened has already been doing, and they would like the House language.
All right, Madam Chair.
Let's spark.
I would like to move Section 61 of the House language.
Oppie moves Section 61 of the House language. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposition.
No, just kidding.
More tests.
Broke the harmony.
Is adopted.
Just a kidding.
Madam Chair and members, the final similar provision in the Ag Policy Articles is the textbook definition of technical differences. That's on page R33, biobutanol, the new definition. There are capitalizations that are different, and 4 is either expressed as a word or as a numeral. So I don't know which is necessarily better. Maybe Mr. Knopf has an opinion. But
Madam Chair, Mr. Sullivan, the House got it right. We shouldn't be capitalizing on 20.24, and we should use the – it should be 4 expressed as a word on 44.24. So the House's language, I think, is preferable here, by the definition of biobutanol.
Madam Chair, then I would move on Section 62 for the House language.
Representative Poppy moves Section 62 of the House language. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposition. That amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, that's the end of the similars for the agriculture policy.
Thank you.
Madam Chair,
Representative
I'm
Poppy.
Wondering, I do believe since we have people here from Commerce and Ag that we might be able to do Section 63.
Yeah.
Or it's right on page R33 and top of R34, just to talk about that.
I think we could discuss it. There is a difference here, so.
We changed that.
Not sure that we've done that one.
Yeah, what section?
Madam Chair. Again, Peter Brickwitty, Director of Government Affairs for the Department of Commerce. The language at the top of page R34 is language that the Department of Commerce, the Department of Agriculture, and the Department of Revenue all were working on during the interim and all agreed to carry in our respective omnibus bills. Ms. Gauthier and I have been endeavoring to try to reach our counterpart at the Department of Revenue because this section is, as members will note, is in Chapter 296A.01, which is in the tax code. Chapter 296 generally mirrors or tracks the weights and measures Chapter 239 as we make updates to our technical standards in the weights and measures chapter, which we are doing in a bill that the House passed on Friday, and the Senate is planning to take up today in our omnibus weights and measures policy bill. The revenue code tracks the weights and measures chapter so that the Department of Revenue knows that they're taxing the correct thing. Our recommendation at this time would be if members were willing to hold on this provision so that the Department of Revenue could weigh in if it's this language is also traveling in the tax bill being conferenced downstairs, and perhaps it's probably more appropriate to travel in the tax bill since it is in Chapter 296, but we're endeavoring to try to confirm that with our counterpart and have not been able to do so yet this morning. So if members would be comfortable in holding on that, that may be something that could be included there, and it is the same language in both the House and Senate positions in the tax bill.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we did discuss this in the Tax Committee. I think part of the challenge that we had is we've had a marketing endeavor about E85, so people know what E85 is. And I think that Tax Committee members and probably other members were concerned that now E85 is E51 to not more than E85. But what was presented is that we're really complying here with federal requirements that we may or may not agree with. I think in the long run, I mean, it sounds like we have to do this. We can have that discussion, but it does kind of, we've invested a lot in E85, but it'll now be E51 to no more than E85.
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen is quite correct. We are conforming with the new federal definition of E85, which, again, is a policy decision made at the federal level that that Minnesota has had a difference in our law now created. And so we're conforming to the federal definition. But I would concur that there has been quite a lot of effort across Minnesota invested in E85 as a brand and as a product, and we want to promote it. And in large part, that's why we worked with folks to put together the language that's on the Senate side to continue to reference the high end of the E85 spectrum, trying to emphasize that we would like folks to be using as high a blend as possible. But in practical terms, a lot of that is dictated to us by the seasonal conditions. And folks with a better technical background than I could probably explain that in detail if members would like. But our concern there is if we don't conform with the federal definition, what the impact on that would do to availability of E85 blends in Minnesota for consumers throughout the year.
We will set this aside and have a conversation about it later after we've had another conversation with the Tax Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is that all right with members?
Yes.
Okay. So we will now, Council, I think it's time to go to Bowser. Representative Dill. Thank you. We need to go to the floor.
So we need to recess.
We are going to take a short recess. We're going to the floor. So we're going to take a short recess and to the call of the chair.